people that I'm close with, and to make sure that I can help out any way that I can, and listening and debriefing about life, and just making sure that I'm making as many connections as I can, because I love people and I love talking and listening to stories and trying to help out in any way I can.
Yeah. And as Lady Ace, I would love to be remembered for bringing out those racy topics that no one wants to talk about, but really do want to talk about. And I guess within my family, it's that I'm the kid that stuck by her word. Regardless of what it is, I stuck to it. And with my friends, if I lose you, love you, or have you forever, I'm still going to be me along the way, and I will always be real and 100%. So that could be from being 100% truthful, 100% there. If I'm going to go less than that, I'm going to walk away so that you can spend time with somebody else. Like, let's be real. I mean, time is money and someone else's energy and lifespan, so I'm not going to waste it. You know? I also think that you attract passion or people around you, and I kind of want to throw out there, I am on this like laws of attraction train, so that's like kind of where my head has been at for like the past 2 weeks, because you know, you slip a disc and you're trying to think, well, what crap did I attract to myself that caused this freaking problem? Like, my body's reacting to probably something more internal or external that's affecting me. But I think by, you know, you stepping out of your own comfort zone every day, you attract a type of people to you that, you know, I don't know, make you a better you. And if you're not doing that, look around, see what's going on, and try to be more effective, because, I mean, that's a great thing to happen, is to bring people around you. I know that these two people that have taken their morning on a Wednesday out to come and sit in a booth with me and talk about stupid stuff like sex, marry, kill, and, you know, freaking TMI tags, I have somehow pulled them into my life and made them feel comfortable enough to help me out in living a dream that I've had. So I hope that the passion that you have about life doesn't just, you know, seep into what you're doing or your career goals, but your actual like friendships and what you want long term. So I think that's a really important thing to consider. As always, I'm going to take my 5 to 10 minute break where I play you awesome music. That is, of course, by more commonly gay artists. And this week, I'm going hard and pumping out Tegan and Sarah because they have a concert this Friday. So if you like the music that I play, you know where to go. Friday night, Fox Theater. Come with me and hang out and listen to Tegan and Sarah live. One of the best bands that I think I listen to. So enjoy the next 5 minutes of Tegan and Sarah.
Away from holding hands with you. I know these habits hurt important parts of you. Remember when I was sweet and unexplainable. Nothing like this person unlovable. I just want back in your head.
I hope you guys liked that little tidbit of Tegan and Sarah. I will try to make sure to play more throughout the show, just so you guys can get a taste in case you want tickets. Now we are doing my main event for this week, which is Battle of the Sexes, because since I got a minor in gender studies, I might as well use it and, you know, talk about some gender issues. So because I have two people of either gender with me in the studio, I'm going to be asking you guys basically a question or about a topic, and I want your opinion about how you think it affects the sexes, whether it's true or not, you know, those kind of tidbits. You guys ready?
Yep.
So let's talk a little bit about the double standards and what is your number. And I don't mean your number as in I call you on the phone and I'm trying to get your number. I mean that number about some activities that you be doing. You know exactly what I'm talking about.
I think for girls, it's more that if you have a smaller number, you're more pure and you haven't slept around with a whole bunch of people. And so therefore, you are slightly better towards like finding someone that you're going to stay with for a really long time. But if you have a higher number, then it's like, oh, like we can like hit it and quit it and then like move on. So I think there's like you get labeled as like a slut if you have like a higher number. I don't know what threshold you have to go above to be called a slut, but I know that like if you have a higher number, it's you don't get respected in the form of like, okay, well, even though you have a high number, like we can still have like a meaningful relationship and stay for a while.
Okay, but here's my thing: the higher number means more experience, means better at this activity. So I mean, I'm a little confused. Wouldn't you want a girl with a higher number because then she's really good at what she's doing?
Or it's just a lot of one-time things. You know what I mean? And it's not like the meaningful, like in getting to know sex and the comfortability where you can talk about it. So true, I think it does. I don't know. It depends. Like, it depends on, like, I think different factors. I'd like to comment on the guy's perspective. I think it's kind of funny that it's praised by guys and then it's hushed by girls. Yep. You know what I mean? Because, like, athletes, like, when you get on a new sports team, like, that's one of the first questions that comes up one-on-one, and you start to talk about girls and how many times, like, that kind of scenario happens. So I think it's very interesting that there's such a double standard with it.
I guess, like, at the same token, for me, like, when I used to date guys, I'd always have in my head, like, if they sleep around a lot, that probably means that they're really, like, crappy, and the girl just never wants him again. Like, it's not about him. If he really could hold it down, like, he could probably, you know, get it multiple times, but apparently he ain't doing his job, which is why he's have a couple of one-nighties all the time. Like, I mean, I always have had that, like, split thought about it. Even, you know, now that I date girls, I'm like, I mean, if the number's high, like, it kind of goes both ways. But then that means asking more questions, like, were these meaningful relationships? And, like, how did you feel about this? All that, like, bonehead stuff. But, like, I feel like it shouldn't be a double standard. I feel like it should be a little bit, you know, circumstantial. Ask more questions, because at the end of the day, it may be that, like, this chick has had, you know, I don't know, 12 6-month-long relationships, so, like, around month 2 and 3, like, they're getting it on, but she's getting it on for, like, 3 months with this guy, and then she breaks up with him and is like, oh, well, I guess I have to, like, start dating someone new. And, you know, then you end up being 28 and your number is kind of high, but you've had a bunch of, like, serious relationships back to back to back to back. So, I don't know. I feel like it goes the same way for guys, but I definitely never thought a high number was a positive thing.
Yeah.
Either way. Like, for a guy, it was just like, that means he's just really crappy in bed. And for a girl, it's like, you're really looking for something that you're not trying to find via some body parts. So, I mean, like, that's personally how I've always felt. Like, the girl's searching for the wrong thing, and the guy just can't hold it down. So
that's funny.
I mean, there is, like, that median number area where it's like, oh, like, he's like, you know, they've lived their life, yet they've, like, at the same time, like, gotten some experience and probably had some, like, long relationships where they learned things. Because you can't learn things in a night.
Definitely.
Like, you cannot learn things in a one-night stand. You need someone to tell you you're bad, good, give you some time to figure it out, and, like, tips, you know.
I think, though, it's, I mean, there's some experience that comes with, like, sleeping with multiple different people, but I think at the same time, I personally feel like, oh, shoot, like, you've been with a bunch of different people, and now there's, like, a spectrum for you to, like, judge things on.
No, that definitely makes sense.
I think the other flip side is, okay, as the person who is now going to engage with this person, let's say, with a high number, they know more, so I feel like there's a higher chance they'll actually understand me and how I roll, versus, like, if their number's really low, like, do I really want to sleep with them? Because, like, there could be some problems, and do I want to take that on? They may not have had these kind of conversations before. They may not have dealt with XYZ. Like, I mean, I definitely know that when I was abroad towards the end, like, I was talking to, like, a girl that was out there, and it was a topic of conversation that did come up. Like, I don't know. Her number was really low, and she seemed very, like, frail about, you know, engaging in sexual activity. And because her number was so low, I kind of judged her of, like, you're kind of naive, and I think you need some time to grow. Mm-hmm. And someone who's more your speed than trying to match somebody that's my speed. Like, work it out with, like, a home girl that actually has time versus me who's, like, going to go home in, like, 3 weeks.
I can understand that. I can get on board with that.
So, I mean, I don't know. I guess I am judgmental. See, this is why I had to have two other people to come on, because I can be shady to both genders, because I've dealt with both. So, I mean, because I judge dudes hard for having high numbers.
But I also don't want to just be a number. Like, that's my thing, is, like, if you've, like, slept around a lot, like, I don't want to be just, like, another check off, unless that's, like, what I've gone in to do. But, like, for the most part, that's not what I go in to do. So,
I mean, I don't think a number is applicable, like, if you're dating. I think a number becomes applicable when you're, like, messing around with somebody. You know, like,
Okay.
That's like a resume. That number becomes a resume.
Yeah.
Can I skim it first? Can I check it out? Like, your personality is no longer the resume. It is no longer the qualifications. Like, that is it. Because this is what we're doing. You know? Like, I don't know.
Yes.
Coming from a girl that has dealt with it all, with both genders, I truly believe it becomes a resume. If you're strictly trying to find a mess around buddy, you know, that's a question you may want to ask and take into some consideration.
So the number depends on where you're going for.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I think it does have a little bit more of a...
No, see, like, I think most guys would agree with that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Not, like, they're not going to try to spend so much time, like, going after a girl that's not going to put out, like, let's say at a party, but
yeah,
like, if she's in a regular scene where it's like normal and a bunch of people hanging out, she's the crowd of the party. You know what I
Most
mean?
Like, definitely. Depending.
So that's really interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I've been that shady at a party, like totally gone after the girl. I have done that. I actually did it at a bar. I didn't even do it at a party. I was like, oh, like, you're friends with her? Oh, does she, like, you know, mess around a lot? Oh, she does. Cool. Streamline. Hey, so how you doing? I bought her two, but it's okay. It's okay. Here's another thing that's a little bit more controversial. Stay-at-home dads. There's like this big change and like stay-at-home dad syndrome, they're calling it.
I love the idea. Completely love the idea.
I mean, if women can do it, men should be able to
that's
do it too,
I'm
right?
Saying. Yeah.
He's like, hell no.
No, I just heard a commercial on the radio this morning while I was driving here, and it was like, you don't have to be the perfect dad. Just be there. And like, and it was literally like their slogan was like, take time to be a dad today. And I'm like, you should not have to listen to the radio to know to be a dad today. Like, you chose to have that child. You can be a dad every single day, and you should be. Like,
yeah.
But I agree that there shouldn't be a double standard on men staying home versus women. Like, whoever has the job and whoever wants to stay at home and care for the children, like, that – if they're the nurturer in the family, like if the male is the nurturer and the mom's like a businesswoman, then that's great. Or if it's like the other way around, or if she travels more because she's doing like artistic things. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I think men should be able to stay at home and
definitely
do all the housework and do all, because like managing children is such a big deal. And like there's a lot that goes into that. So.
Well, it's definitely.
I would totally be a stay-at-home dad. Like, my biggest goal is to, like, retire at a good age where I could be a stay-at-home dad. I think that'd be epic. Or work, like, hours where they're at school or whatever it may be. Like, so that's that whole idea. Like, if I can get there, like, definitely. But I can see how, like, maybe they don't get jobs. Like, you know what I mean? There's all the variables. But, like, my idea of a stay-at-home dad seems really cool. So.
I mean, I guess for me, with this new, like, flip in how, I think it's, the last time I checked, it was, like, 64% of college graduates are women. I mean, women are kind of taking over the job market a little bit, which is dropping salaries left and right, but we're not going to get into that right now.
Yeah.
So if there's this change in, like, who's graduating from college, obviously there should be a change in who's staying home. And yes, go Tide for having commercials about how this is normal, so that kids don't freak out when, you know, everybody else has a stay-at-home, you know, mom, and I have a stay-at-home dad. Like, it should be a stay-at-home parent.
Yeah.
It should no longer be stigmatized of there's a gender title to it.
Yeah.
I'm a stay-at-home parent. Let's keep it moving.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I think there's also, like, with parents who volunteer at the school, like, it's mostly moms because they're stay-at-home moms. And, like, I always thought it was cool, like, I nanny, so I pick up the kids from school. And so, like, seeing the dads come and be like, hey, like, how was your day? Like, I think it's more meaningful that way, because it's, like, moms are usually, like, always seen as, like, picking up the kids, like, dropping them off at soccer, like, doing all these things. And, like, it's really cool that a dad can take over that role and be, like, still masculine about it and be like, yeah, I'm picking up the kids from school. Like, I'm doing, like, what do they call it? Like, the parent-teacher conference.
PTA.
There we go. That thing.
Yep.
Be, like, being involved in the kid's life, because I feel like they get a lot of rap for being, like, the business guy who doesn't come home till like, 9 o'clock at night when the kids are asleep.
So the flip side to that is, how do you guys feel about moms then working long hours?
Well, I think that should be even. Like, if it's working long hours, then he should have a job. You know what I mean? Like, that's my opinion. Like, it shouldn't have to be, like, somebody's working more than they even want to. You know what I mean?
Okay, but what about those, like, monster moms or the workaholic moms that, like, have these corporate jobs and...
Do they want that, though? Like, they want it.
I feel like it's not wanted, but, like, some lawyers, you gotta work long hours before, like, a court date. Like, there are times when it just comes up, or you're, like, rushed out to, go to some meeting. especially if you're working, you know, in law, sometimes even in medicine, considering like, you know, what's going on right now and like different types of publishing aspects. I mean, you could be working for long hours just to make sure you have a job, you know, in 3 weeks time. So I wonder how people feel about that. I mean, it's stereotypically okay in our society for a man to be working long hours and like have to really, you know, like make the bacon, you know, at his job. But like, what about women? I guess my thing is, if we can have stay at home dads, why can't women stay late at work?
Because they're supposed to be the nurturer. They're supposed to want to be with the kids every second of every day.
But what if I carve out my Saturdays?
Exactly. No, I mean, I totally agree. Like, I'm going into medicine, so, like, I'm going to be working hours that are, like, crazy. But I think women get the rap of being, you're the mom, and so you, like, mother them all the time, and, like, you're caring for your children constantly and, like, all this stuff. So typical moms will be like, no, I want to be at home. But there's parents who like don't want to be at home all the time. Like, I know I get frustrated with things and I don't want to go home. So it's like, if I had kids at home, like, I probably wouldn't also want to go home, like, if I'm having a rough day. So it's like, I think they get the rap for being nurturers and wanting to always be with their kids. But I think having a career goal and having like a businesswoman aspect to your life, I don't think it's a bad thing. I think it's a good thing.
Awesome. Okay, my next topic is, who's the man in your relationship? So I'm gonna put a little background to it, because this is a constant issue in like LGBT relationships. Like, somebody has to be the more dominant one and someone has to be submissive. Like, who's the man? Who wears the pants? You know, who's bringing home the bacon? Who's frying it? Like, do you think that those stereotypes still live in relationships? Because we have stay-at-home dads, now we have moms that are workaholics. That should then change the stereotype of like, there's a man and then there's a one, like, someone's obviously going to be more dominant in some aspects and then someone's going to be more submissive in others, or not necessarily submissive, but like, you know, backing off and letting the other person kind of dominate it. Or do you think the man should always be a man? I mean, I've been told time and time again, I'm the dominant person in my relationship, and that's just kind of the way it is.
I don't know. I just don't think it should be even worded that way. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
That's why it's like hard to say. Like, I'd say, I don't know. I'm all about like equal relationships, and like, if you get in a relationship like with a person, you know what I mean? You're getting in a relationship with a person, not like the status and all that. So it's like, I don't know. I don't think there should be even a division with that phrase.
Are you in agreement? Because I have a follow-up question to that.
I'm not really in agreement. And I think most girls go into relationships thinking that like the man is going to be like the man, and like the girl is going to be the girl, and like the typical like American sweethearts and things like that.
Yeah.
I know, like, for me personally, like, I have I've been told it's an aggressive personality, but I don't like to think about it that way. Passionate is what I would say. But so there's like certain situations where like I will take over conversations, or I'll be like very stern on things that I believe in and like my moral compass. But I also know that like in things where it's like sports related, or like, are we talking about like all these big worldwide things, like, I'm not as rigid. And so I let like the man talk whatever he's going to talk, and I like listen, and I'll like bring up other issues. But like, I don't think I dominate everything, but I think there's like a good balance.
Okay.
Or I'd like to hope so.
So my follow-up question to that is, then who pays the check?
Man.
Oh!
But
Dan's like, I don't agree with that.
But I will say that like, I've been like dating recently, and so like, he'll get like the first date, and then I'll be like, oh, like, if you're gonna come and see me, like, I'll take you out. So I try to do like the first date, like, I want it to be like all fantasy stuff. And so, but then like after that, like, I will help pitch in, or like, if we're gonna go to the movies, like, I'll pay for the movie ticket, or you get ice cream after. Like, I like to do that, because like, I do make money for myself. So it's like, I don't want you to be like, here, you don't do anything, like, you just sit around. Like, no, I work my butt off.
Most definitely.
But like, I also want that.
Yeah. So I'm pretty much the same kind of thing. Like, if I ask the girl to go on a date, then of course I'm gonna pay and everything. But if it's like, we want to just hang out and do something together, and we're already together, and we're like, hey, you want to go to the movies, or we're talking about it, like, if it's not like a plan or like a date planned kind of thing, then that's when I plan pay, and when I not, or like, not when I not, but I respect like us still as friends kind of thing. It doesn't have to be always.
you know, one way or the other. Yeah. I don't know. I always tend to go Dutch, but I don't like going Dutch in the traditional way. Like, if I bought the tickets to the activity, you pay for the dinner or the lunch. Because I'm one of those people, if it's a date, there should be only one check. I mean, one card that goes with the check when the waitress walks away. Like, I just hate the whole, like, dual check. Credit card situation. That's just, no, that makes it not a date. We're friends. Cool. Yeah. Like, there is nothing further going to happen. No action. But I definitely have a rule about that. On a first date, I actually just dealt with this, like, this past weekend. On a first date, I will always pay, like, without a doubt, especially if I'm the one, like, that kind of brought it up. But they always have to offer. Mm. And if they don't offer, they immediately lose points. Like, I will gladly pay without hesitation, but if you don't offer, it's just tacky. Like, come on. I know that you're a chick, but, like, please fake offer. Like, put the phony one out there and then say that it was phony. Like, at least own up to it. Like, you know, like, if you really wanted me to, I would have paid. But, like, I'm so glad you did because I, like, think it's, like, you know, classier that way. But, like, you got to offer.
I always just, like, have my wallet out as, like, the check comes and he goes, oh.
Exactly. Exactly. Like, you know, like, at least do the, like, act like you're willing, you know?
Yeah.
That's my one pet peeve. Like, on a first date, you need to, like, be willing to, like, don't be the chick that just sits there.
Yeah.
Like,
that's like, yeah, you have to pay for it now.
Like, this is 2014. We're trying to work on, like, equal pay, y'all. Don't just sit there. Jeez. Okay. Last couple of questions. How do you feel about, like, guys and girls being the secret? This, I'm not sure if people have dealt with this, but, like, I don't know. I got a message from someone, which is why it's in here, and it may not be, like, perfect for this, but, like, I got a message from a girl that said, I don't know if it's just me or I feel like a secret. Like, I'm a secret in my relationship, and that, you know, it's the idea that, like, you're the friend, so you bring her around and it's a friend. Like, do you think that's, like, okay or acceptable? I mean, I feel like in some senses, like, it happens more commonly to girls rather than guys, where it'll be like, yeah, she's just my friend, and, like, you know, totally outright just nixed all the things that have been going on behind closed doors and around the bushes. You know, like.
So I have an interesting side of that. Like, I'm kind of that way. Like, I want her to be, like, one of the boys when she's around the boys kind of thing. And then when we're not, then it can be more. I don't like PDA, truthfully. Like, I'm.
Neither do I, so it's okay.
No. That's kind of, like, where I'm at with it. So it's, like. And I feel like in the beginning of relationships, you need to put that barrier and, like, tell her, like, hey, when we're around them, like, we need to act a certain. It's not like you're changing who you are, but it's like you act differently around different people. It's not like you're different. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, I'm going to act a little different if it's all my guy friends. And if you're there, like, right. I'm going to make. I don't know. Like, so.
Yeah,
that's kind
of
where I'm at.
I wouldn't call
it like,
a secret.
Yeah.
Like, I think it would just be more like out of respect for your friends and like out of stuff like that. Like, I hate it when people sit on the couch together, like leaning all up on each other. And then I'm like, hey, I'm going to cook some dinner now and like be in my apartment. But y'all are over there doing your thing. So it's like, I really hate PDA. And so I agree with Dale with that you just act more like respectful and more mature when you're around like groups of people. Like, yeah. I know my ex and I, like, we were really close friends, and then, like, I tried to make sure that he was really close with all of my friends, so that it was more of, like, we were all, like, group hanging out friendly, and then, like, when we were together separately, it was, like, we were just more, like, together in love, that sort of stuff.
Yeah, most definitely. Because, I don't know, I guess for me, like, I never, like, I will never let anyone have, like, false ideas about crap. Like, you're gonna know. Like, I will have told my friends, like,
right.
Be prepared, like, everyone knows, but I don't do PDA, so it's like, we will be sitting on this couch like we are bros, you know, like, it's my own thing. Intimacy is intimate, it does not require an audience, so, like, I don't feel comfortable doing, if you're, it's like my grandma sitting there right now, like, I would not kiss you in front of my grandma, so I'm not kissing you in front of my friends, like, you know, type deal, but I definitely felt bad that she had considered, like, oh, my God, I'm the secret, definitely. You know? Like, that idea that, you know, you're kicked to the curb on meeting the bros kind of situation.
Yeah. I guess that also plays into if he's told his friends about you and, like, oh, yeah, I took her out and, like, we did this or that, but like, doesn't outwardly show it when you guys are together.
Yeah. But do you think that, like, they need to be told or it needs to be shown? Like,
shown. I'm huge on shown. Like, it, I don't know. You can do little, in my opinion, you can do little things, like, for, because it's like a, at least for me, like, my guy's perspective, like, you can, you know what I mean? Like, touch her on her arm or, you know what I mean? Like, little things. It doesn't have to, and you can, like, acknowledge and thank her, like, that she's here with your buddies. Like, yeah. It could be, like, one of those things. Like, okay. And that she still knows.
Out in the corner. Like, hey. Clearly we're in love. Okay,
so. 3 weeks. You know?
Exactly. Exactly. Oh, my gosh. I can't even Mac on a first date, dude. That's just doing way too much. Here is, like, the most controversial question, and it's the last one of today. The walk of shame versus the walk of glory. I actually got a message from somebody about her walk of shame and how torturous it was through her dorm room. She doesn't go to school in California, so it's no one that anyone knows, and she's a Tumblr chick. But how do we feel about that double standard, the walk of shame versus the walk of glory?
Oh my God, it's such a double standard.
Well, I mean, the girl can take it as a walk of glory. You know what I mean?
Never, like, if she gets caught, it's never the walk of glory, though.
Because usually it was, like, a bad decision with too much, like, tequila.
What if it was the guy's decision and it was a bad decision? You know what I mean? Like,
I feel like, though, okay, this is just my what happened to me in Pinafore. I was once walking through Pinafore, and I definitely saw a guy running with no socks on, carrying his shit in some boxers, and totally heard from, like, some guy who was also walking down the hall, bro, that is not the walk of shame. Like, when you're like, yeah, you got it. That is not the walk of shame. That becomes the walk of glory instantaneously.
But is it because guys, no offense, Dale, but, like, guys will kind of want to have sex with anything. Like, sex is sex to them, and no, it's like, woo, it's valid, sex. Like.
But why doesn't a girl get points for knocking boots is my thing. She hit it. She
might have no comment.
You know? Like, no. She might have like, hit it just as hard as the dude did.
No, she might have. You know, but, like.
Shoot. She might have been the queen of the castle that night and been able to walk, be the only person that could walk out of the room, you know? Like,
But I guess that goes back to the first, like, initial question of, like, your number.
Yeah. All I know is that my freshman year, I definitely was told.
Dale's got nothing, guys.
Yeah, I don't know about this one.
I don't know. I definitely was told by my RA, if she caught me coming home at 6 a.m. in the morning, I was going to get some mean shit. Like, and it was not a comment that she made to the girls. It was only, a comment she made to the boys. It was only a comment that she made to a couple of girls. Like, I saw you hanging out with them senior dudes. If I catch you at 6 a.m. in the morning, I know where you've been and I know what you've done, and it ain't cute. Like, keep it classy.
I guess, too, like, girls are protective over one another. So if, true, like, that. You see another girl, you're like, crap, she saw me. Like, oh, no. Like, and I guess it's, like, more of shameful for, like, another girl to see you rather than, like, another guy. Like, if I was, like, running down in, like, some weird dude's, like, clothes, like, I would be less embarrassed to have a guy see me because I'd be like, yeah, okay, I had sex with someone. But, like, if a girl saw me, I'd be like, these are not my clothes. Oh, my gosh. But look at how cute I look in them. Like,
yeah.
Like, you know, try to play
exactly.
it off.
Exactly.
No, that, I mean, it makes sense. And if you look at the two guy and girl's perspective from the guy, like, the guy is kind of praised and it's kind of ha-ha, and then and I'm not saying every woman, but, like, then it's kind of desirable because they were, you know what I mean? Like, they were kind of with somebody, like, they're somebody that's getting looked at, like.
True that. So I can see
they're
that.
They're a hot commodity.
You know?
Yeah. Like that.
Maybe it's just, you know, women are judgmental, so it sucks being a girl and having to do the walk of shame.
Seriously.
We
judge so hard.
Not that I've ever done it. I don't know. But definitely, I feel like it can go south, and not to end it on, like, a sad note, but let's look out for those numbers and treat them like some resumes. Watch out for walking out at the walk of shame. And if you're gonna do it, ladies, do it like the dudes do it, but don't come running out in some boxers and carrying your clothes. Like, it's not cute, it's not classy in any sense of the word. Like, at least walk out in your heels, brush your hair a little bit, you know, flip it back, like, yeah, I look this bad.
Splash some water on
you, know, like, make your cheek, like, wipe the mascara down and the eyeliner, like, make it look cute. Dads, go ahead and stay home, and let's just pray there are no gender stereotypes about who is dominating a relationship.
Yeah.
All right. Well, this is me, Yon Ub, Lady Ace. And I hope you enjoyed my show, The Curve Life, today. I will be back next week with more fun and hopefully more co-hosts. So have a great rest of your day. All right. Good night. Goodbye.
All I wanna get is a little bit closer. All I wanna know is, can you come a little closer? Here comes